This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and all the rest. If you have a news story you think we might need to cover, please send articles and links to news@crosspolitic.com. Pastor Joe Boot spoke at the Toronto church closure protest at Queen's Park in front of the Ontario Legislative Building this last weekend. Listen.
It's important to, at a time like this, for Christians to remember and to recognize and to give prophetic witness to the identity of Jesus Christ. He is above all rule and authority, every throne, every dominion. And that's why we're here. It's why the church is gathering to worship. Paul the Apostle reminds us in Romans 13 what government is actually there for. It's to be God's servant. That's what the state is. It's God's servant. Actually, in the Greek language, the word is deacon. It's there to punish evil and reward righteousness. Not punish righteousness and reward evil. Our Canadian Charter begins with the preamble declaring that we are founded on the principles which recognize what? The supremacy of God. Not the supremacy of the state. Not the supremacy of any political actor. Not the supremacy of bureaucrats and medical professionals. But the supremacy of God. Not unelected officials, but the supremacy of God. These things are currently under a serious threat, and that's why we're here to worship.
They were gathered for a worship service protest there at the Ontario Legislative Building, and so they sang to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign.
Elsewhere in Manitoba, police were monitoring churches for violations because, you know, churches, that's where it's spreading totally.
Churchgoers at Steinbeck, Manitoba's Church of God were defiant Sunday morning, lining the highway to take in a service over loudspeaker as RCMP blocked the parking lot. Under Manitoba public health order, even drive-in services are not allowed.
I believe in God, and I believe in our Constitution, and I believe in our Bill of Rights in Canada.
It's true that Canadians have a right to things like religious freedom, but during a public health emergency, those rights can be restricted if health officials feel measures are necessary to curb the spread of COVID-19.
The video depicts, you can't see the video, but it depicts cars gathered in driving snow with a few people out of their cars to interact with the RCMP. Drive-in services are a threat to spreading this flu-like virus. Right. More suicides in Japan than COVID-19 deaths over the entire year to date. Not just suicides over the year, suicides in October. This is from CNN. The monthly number of Japanese suicides rose to 2,153 in October, according to Japan's National Police Agency. As of last Friday, Japan's total COVID-19 toll was just 2,087, the health ministry said. One Japanese university student started a 24-hour hotline back in March during the COVID outbreak. The hotline, a nonprofit funded by private donations, receives an average of over 200 calls a day. In April, he said the most common messages were from mothers who are feeling stressed about raising their kids, with some confessing to thoughts of killing their own children. These days, he says messages from women about job losses and financial difficulties are common, as well as domestic violence. Listen.
And I've been messaging, accept messages like, I'm raping by father. by the father, the real dad. Or my husband tried to kill me.
Wow, yeah. Because of the pandemic.
Because of the pandemic, yes. Because before the pandemic, they had like the place that they can escape, like the schools or the office.
This too is the effect of all the COVID scaremongering. We need to take these lives into account as well. And obviously these lives ultimately need the gospel. Folks, do you wish you could listen and watch the news anytime, day or night, from a source that was committed to telling the truth about what's going on in the world and have a no holds barred biblical analysis to accompany it? Tired of woke scolds and latte theologians nuancing everything to death? Do you wish Christian media was a little bit more rowdy, more idols got smashed in the process? That's what Cross Politics is all about. We need your help to continue growing the Fight Laugh Feast network, and the best way you can help us is by becoming a Fight Laugh Feast club member today. If you're tired of legacy media cramming their pagan worldviews down your throat and social media censoring views they don't approve of, support Cross Politics as we build a Christian media platform and network committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over everything. Also, we like to laugh and drink beer. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight Laugh Feast club member today. Go to FightLaughFeast.com, and thank you so much. Major corporations, Nike and Coca-Cola, are reportedly pushing back on legislation that would crack down on forced labor in China. Did you hear that? They're pushing back on this. This is from the New York Times, reported Sunday that the two companies have joined several others in an effort to put pressure on Congress to weaken a bill that would ban imported goods made with forced labor in China's Xinjiang region. The Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act has bipartisan support, oh, look at that, in Congress, and is designed to ban certain goods that are produced in China with the aid of forced labor. Why would Nike and Coca-Cola and Apple be against that? And its passage would also force corporations to place their own supply chains under a proverbial microscope in order to ensure they're avoiding suppliers who utilize such labor sources. Tech giant Apple and even the United States Chamber of Commerce have pushed back on the legislation, according to the New York Times. This is from the New York Times. But the legislation, called the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act, has become the target of multinational companies, including Apple, whose supply chains touch the far west Xinjiang region, as well as of business groups, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Lobbyists have fought to water down some of its provisions, arguing that while they strongly condemn forced labor, blah, 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 current atrocities in Xinjiang, the act's ambitious requirements could wreak havoc on supply chains that are deeply embedded in China. Right. So you don't want to end slavery too fast. Coca-Cola has been linked to sugar suppliers in the Xinjiang region, and Nike has been tied to a Qingdao factory that reportedly employed Uyghur workers. Nike states in March of this year that the Qingdao factory did not import source materials and had stopped hiring Uyghurs from the Xinjiang region back in 2019. A report also published in March by the Australian Strategic Policy Institute stated that in 2019, the factory employed some 800 Uyghurs and produced more than 7 million pairs of shoes. Speaking of Nike and such things, Michael Smirkonish responded to Colin Kaepernick's call for Mumia Abu-Jamal's release from prison last week. Michael Smirkonish wrote a book on Mumia Abu-Jamal, so he knows a thing or two about what happened.
I see that you've just called for the immediate release of this convicted cop killer, claiming that he was framed by a racist police department for the 1981 murder of Officer Danny Faulkner.
He had no record before he was arrested and framed for the death of a Philadelphia police officer. Since 1981, Mumia has maintained his innocence. His story has not changed. Mumia was shot, brutalized, arrested, and chained to a hospital bed. The first police officer assigned to him wrote in a report that the Negro male made no comment, as cited in Philly Mag. Yet 64 days into the investigation, another officer testified that Mumia had confessed to the killing. Mumia's story has not changed.
This is a subject I know a little something about. You could say that I literally wrote the book. This book. 2008, I co-authored Murdered by Mumia with Danny Faulkner's widow, Maureen. It was briefly a New York Times bestseller. By the way, neither of us accepted any proceeds from the sale of the book. So here's the short version based on trial testimony. On December 9, 1981, at about 4 a.m., 25-year-old Daniel Faulkner was executed while making what seemed like a routine traffic stop. Faulkner pulled over the brother of Abu Jamal, a.k.a. Wesley Cook, who was driving his car the wrong way on a one-way street. Abu Jamal was then working as a taxi driver. He saw the police stop from across the street. And four eyewitnesses testified at trial as to what happened next. Their testimony portrayed a horrific sequence. Abu Jamal ran across the street, shot Officer Faulkner in the back, and then finally between the eyes. Before that final fatal shot, Officer Faulkner had himself discharged his gun, hitting Abu Jamal in the stomach. With that bullet, you could say that he confirmed the identity of his executioner. When police arrived, Abu Jamal was still wearing his shoulder holster. The murder weapon registered to him was next to him on the ground at the murder scene. He'd purchased it at a local sporting goods store. Ballistics tests verified that the bullets found in Abu Jamal's gun were the same caliber, brand, and type as the fatal bullet removed from Officer Faulkner's brain. Both men were taken to a local ER. Faulkner was pronounced dead. Abu Jamal was heard by witnesses, including a security guard, to say, "I shot the MF-er, and I hope the MF-er dies." So the case had eyewitnesses, a ballistics match, and a confession. In 1982, a multiracial jury heard the case. They convicted Abu Jamal, then sentenced him to death. For a quarter century, an endless cycle of Abu Jamal appeals made a mockery of the judicial system. His defense team attracted a long list of celebrity supporters. A street was named for him in France. NPR gave him his own radio show. He wrote several books. This all after he was convicted of murdering a cop.
Sort of makes sense, though, if burning down targets and police stations is just your expression of peaceful protest. But if you're trying to worship God in a snowstorm, in your car, in Canada, you're a threat to the world. This is Romans 1, people. This is what happens when a culture turns away from God. God gives that people over to judicial blindness and idiocy. They become vain in their imaginations. They are given over to debauchery and lies and a reprobate mind. That's what Romans 1 says. And don't miss the fact that God gave us over to this when we legalized the murder of the unborn, and later when we insisted that a man that we as man can define marriage as two dudes shacking up. Those Supreme Court rulings were themselves insanity on display. Drooling psychosis run up a flagpole and a multitude of middle fingers extended to the God of heaven. So, of course, we are prohibiting the worship of that God. Of course, we are using a relatively harmless virus to scare the nations of the world. And, of course, the nations of the world are easily terrified because they do not know the God of heaven. They're not at peace with him. They're under his judgment. I used to think the kids going around in ripped jeans and body piercings and clown hair were bold rebels. But now that they're all masked up and cowering in their apartments, I realize that they're all scared conformists, terrified of any real non-conformity. Now it's Christians going to church, getting married, having piles of kids, and eating dinner together. Insanity. Without any social distancing. We are punk rock. We are the rebels. We are the sane. But we are only the sane by the grace of God. Jesus spoke the word and drove our demons away. And we woke up sitting, clothed, and in our right minds. And by that same grace, many of our scared and mindless neighbors will come to a knowledge of the truth. So even as we stand our ground and push back, look at the crowds, the cops, the politicians, all the scared, not-so-rebel masses. Look at them the way Jesus did, with compassion, as terrified, stupid sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd who laid his life down for those sheep. And he will gather them into his fold. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. You know all the stuff. Join the club, get the app, buy shirts, support Rowdy Christian Media. Go to FightLaughFeast.com today. Thanks.